Well, hello, kids and kidzoids. Here we are again at Stories and Stuff. Sometimes stories, sometimes stuff. This is Joy Bubbles here in Minneapolis, your storyteller. Yeah, when you get a phone call, you never know what kind of adventure it's going to be. A few years ago, there was a song that they played on the Christian radio stations by a group called Whiteheart. And the song was called Hotline. It was sort of like about a hotline to God. And at the beginning of it, it had some push-button phone tones. And I can tell which tone it is by ear, and I remember the number. It was like a 10-digit number. So I wonder what would happen if you just put a 1 in front of it and dial it on the phone. And I tried it when I got home, and a nice lady said, hello. And nice-sounding lady, anyway. And I said, hey, guess what? I heard your number, the tones of your number, at the beginning of a record by a group called Whiteheart. Have you ever heard of Whiteheart? And she said, oh, indeed I have. My son, you know, is Mark Gerstmann, the leader of the band. Did he put you up to this? And I said, well, I just heard the song and heard the tones of a phone number at the beginning and thought I'd try it. And, you know, you mean he put my number at the beginning of the record? And I said, yeah, he sure did. And so we talked about an hour and had a wonderful conversation with Rhonda, who is Mark Gerstmann's mother of the group Whiteheart. So you just never know what's going to happen. Well, one day my phone rang, and because of that, I will always remember what I had for lunch way back on December 11th. It was a Monday. Well, it was December 11th, 1989, actually. It was, midsummer, I guess, when I first got the call, and I answered, and she said, hello, Joy Bubbles, this is Jessa's mother, and I've read articles about you, and I know you're 5 years old forever, gave up being a grown-up, and I just love your name, and I know you love to play with kids and everything, and my little girl is named Jessa, and I wonder if you'd like to come over and play with her. And I said, did you say Jessica? No, Jessa, J-E-S-S-A. Oh, you know, I've never heard the name Jessa before. And you say she's 4? Yeah. Oh, I'd love to come and play with her. Yeah, we'd have so much to talk about. She could tell me about her dolls and her imaginary friends and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I talked to her about a canopy bed. And she said, well, and she was, sounded like she almost wanted to cry suddenly. And she said, I'll understand if you don't want to come, but there's something I need to tell you first. Jessa, she saw her father, my husband, get shot and killed in Oklahoma where we lived. And about a week later, she stopped talking, and she hasn't talked for 2 years. And I'll understand if you don't want to come. And I thought, well, gosh, how is a blind person going to communicate with somebody that doesn't talk? And then I remembered, well, I'm really there to play, and most kids understand play, and I can just communicate that way. So I said, well, let's try it. So that Monday, she came and picked me up and took me over to the Kenwood area where she lived in the part of Minneapolis. And she had said, you know, you just let me know what kind of toys, manipulatives, or anything you need for your work. And I have contacts all over the world, and money is no object, and I'll get them. And I said, well, you know, maybe a couple paper, you know, paper bags to crush, or some cellophane to rattle would be really good, and some maybe paper towel rolls, or whatever things you have around there. I'll be fun. You know, we'll find a way of playing with them. And sure enough, when I was kind of crushing the bags, and I just kind of tossed them down on the ground, and all of a sudden she was sort of crushing them and rattling the bags. Then when we got the big piece of cellophane, and I was singing a strange tune in a made-up language and rattling the cellophane, you know, something. You know, or something like that. It was just, you know, a huge piece of cellophane, just as Mother had got me. And she was rattling that and playing with it. And then when we got to the paper towels, I was holding the roll in my hand, and the little end of it was hanging down, the paper towel. And she grabbed the towel, And I just held the roll loosely, and she started running with it, and the roll started spinning. And she'd turn around the other way and run, and just as Mother was describing, oh, she's just smiling. She's wrapping herself up, paper towels, she's just covered with them. And she ran the other way and around and getting more and more wound up in those towels, and more were rolling. I think it was the longest paper towel she had ever probably seen in her life, just unrolling that whole roll. And I just gently held onto the tube in my hand and let it spin. And finally, I ended up with the booby prize, or I guess the hoo-hoo prize, the empty paper towel tube. She had unrolled that whole roll of paper towels from running around. And so, you know, what do you do with a paper towel tube but hoo-hoo through it? And so I had to make up a song, you know, singing through that tube. You are special, you are special, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Jessa, you're so special. Yes, Jessa, you're so special. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. J-E-S-S-A, Jessa. So I decided, well, you know, it was fun. And I came back every Monday morning. She'd pick me up, and after we played for a couple hours, we'd have a nice lunch and everything. We'd do different things. Like one Monday, I would put the big old stuffed starfish that they had. I'd put it on top of my head, and she'd reach up and knock it off, and I'd grab it and put it back on my head again and everything. And she'd kind of bounce up and down. And then one time I just got on the floor and decided to make some noises, you know, like, you know, for the big dog and the puppy. You know, and then I decided to cry a little bit, you know, get ready, and then cry like, and you know what Jessa did? You know, you'd think maybe with all that crying she'd put her hand over my mouth, but instead she came and put her hands over my eyes. Maybe she was trying to wipe my tears away or something like that. Yeah, every time it seemed to be different. One time I brought my nap mat, because I just love to play with, you know, you can push the ends together and it folds up into four pieces. And I'd say, a nap for a mat for a nap is a nap mat, because I like the A sound in nap mat. And I was just saying it, and pushing it together. And then we were upstairs for a while, and when we came down, Justice Mother said, Joy Bubbles, there's a sleepy little girl right in the middle of your nap mat. And she wanted to know if we should wake her up. And I said, well, no, I'll tell you what. I'll just lie down on the floor, you know, and near her. And, you know, just we'll just, you know, lie down together, since that's what she's wanting to do right now. And so I did. I was just only a few feet from her, I guess. And I lied down there, and we were quiet. And before I knew it, we were breathing in rhythm, just kind of quietly just breathing together, just laying there, and things got quiet, and things got even quieter, and things got even quieter, quieter than a gentle whisper, just as Mother said later. And there was something like, I could just almost like kind of feel her presence in the room. And I laid there thinking about how many times I had dreamed about what her voice would sound like, and maybe I'd never hear it because she hadn't talked for 2 years, you know. She had talked for the first week and said that the two men had come into the house and they had big guns. But, you know, she stopped and hadn't, you know, and I thought, well, I guess I'll never hear her voice. And then, you know, as suddenly as she had lain down there, she just jumped up and ran off and started to play, you know, and it was over. But it was, we were like connected as one there for, it was sort of a magic thing. Then another time I came, we had this great big tub with bubble water in it. Oh, and there was actually Joy Bubbles in the water, because Jess's mother did say she used Joy dish soap. And there was big sponges. Oh, I love to wet sponges when they're dry and you wet them and they get suddenly thick and heavy and you could squish them and water comes out everywhere from them. And Jessa was doing that, and there was cups. She loved to put the little cup into my hand and then pour the big cup into it, and it would overflow all over. And she just was doing that over and over, and we were just having the best time in the bubbles, when all of a sudden, I got a surprise on my T-shirt that says, actually, children should be seen, heard, and believed. All over that T-shirt, which I still have, there was bubble water. She had spilled water all over me from my head down suddenly, and it was a surprise instead of pouring it in the tub like we were normally doing. And then I thought I heard something. I must have imagined it. I thought I heard something like, or something. You know, it just sounded like something, and I thought, oh, I must have imagined it. But then just a little while later, she said, bubble, bubbles, louder. And it was true. It was real. I mean, I didn't even know if I was really there, if I was just dreaming. I heard her voice, bubble, bubbles, her first words in over 2 years. And, of course, her mother came running and laughing and hugging and crying. And she said, bubble, bubbles, even louder the third time. And a man that was there was even trying to take a picture, but he had something over the lens still or something. And I don't even remember what happened in the next few minutes. There was so much laughing and crying and hugging and everything else. And I think even Jessa was surprised that she had talked. And it was dripping wet. Oh, my gosh. That was December 11th, 1989. Our first words. And Jessa's mother said, you know what? I want to get you something to have you to remember this day, she said. Money's no object, she said again. I've got contacts all over the world. You just name what you want. I said, well, gee, as long as money's no object, I can ask you for what I really want. Somebody had told me she was rather wealthy, so, you know. I said, what I really want is a great big bowl of peas, just peas, where I could just sit and enjoy them. Peas? Well, I've got some frozen peas. I said, oh, those would be wonderful, big green peas. Oh, yes, these peas are peas that please. So she was getting the fixings for the peas and everything. And she said, oh, honey, you're bound to want something more than peas. And I said, well, actually I do, something very, very precious, one of the most precious things you have. You know what I'd like the most with the peas? Is your time to eat them here and not have to hurry off or anything, where you could just stay with us and just be all together and not have to worry about hurry. And she started to cry a little bit and held both my hands. Then she came over and, here, stick your finger out. Push this, she said. And I said, what is it? That's the off button on my pager. And I just think that there wasn't too many people that had ever gotten to push the off button on Jess's mother's pager. That was back before cell phones became real popular. And then I heard her go in the other room and make a phone call, and she was saying, nope, I just can't be there. I'll tell you later. The meeting's just going to have to run without me, and that's that. I'm not going to be there, and that's that. Goodbye. And she hung up and came back, and we ate peas. You know what? There was so much love in those peas. Have you ever gone into a room where something nice had happened or something, or and felt something good, or maybe even one where people were fighting, you could still feel like the residuals of vibes in the room or something? Well, this was like that in those peas. There was so much good feeling. That sometimes when you cook food, you put the feelings in it. At least I can feel sometimes. And there was so much love in those peas. I mean, I've had some pretty rewarding moments and awards and stuff, but I can't think of anything any more wonderfuler than that day hearing Jessa's voice and her talking and everything. And she put the whole big bowl of peas in front of me, and Jessa reached in and got a handful. And so Jessa's mother got her a plate, because I said, oh, let this be a day where she can play with them, you know. And so she was rolling them around, and all of a sudden, as loud as you could imagine, Jessa said, Mommy! And, I just found that I could just about eat peas and cry at the same time, one of those days. So this is not where the story ends exactly, because a few years later, I got a call from Jessa's mother one night. She said, Oh, I couldn't wait to call you till there was a break in this. I was at a philanthropy meeting here, and I couldn't wait to tell you, you know, to tell you what we had for dinner tonight. I bet you can guess. And I said, oh, I know what you had. I bet you had chicken hearts and gravy. No, we didn't have no chicken hearts and gravy, honey, she said. But you know what? Never in my life will I be able to eat peas again without thinking of you. And that's what we had tonight. And then one day, Jessa called me, who by then was almost a teenager, and she said, I remember how much you like peas and how you're 5 years old forever, and I saw this book and I knew I had to read it to you. It's called Five Peas in a Pod by Hans Christian Andersen. And she read it to me in her voice, the one I had dreamed about. Well, next time there'll be another story, and you never know what's going to happen when the phone rings. Take care of each other. Stay strong and find some time to play. Bye for now.
Begin speaking at the tone.